Brother Bobby's going to come up. He's got a card. It's a pledge card, and he's going to explain it. And I encourage you all, if you would like to participate in this pledge process, kind of what we talked about yesterday, that I pledge to totally abstain from tobacco and alcohol and illegal drugs. Bobby has a pledge card he'll explain to you. Thank you. Well done.
Let me put my eyes on. This is a card that was developed by the Women's Missionary Society, and it's a life card. And life is an acronym that means living in faithfulness eternally. On the card is a scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, that talks that Dr. John's already talked about this week. It says, "With God's help, I," and you put your name on the card, "promise to avoid the use of tobacco, avoid the use of alcohol, avoid the use of illegal drugs." I would suggest that as you take this card and you sign it, that you just simply say, "I promise to remain pure in all areas of my life," as this pledge. Now, there's two parts of this card. One is a little section here that you can cut off, and you can buy little pouches that you can laminate these, put them in your wallet, keep them in your pocket, and take them with you as a reminder of the pledge that you have made. The other part has a place for your parent to sign it and for your pastor to sign it. And what I suggest with that is that the pledge that you're making both with your parents as well as with your pastor, and ask your pastor to hold that card for you as your accountability, and let your pastor hold you accountable, or your parent, whichever you prefer, but let them help to hold you accountable to keep this pledge, that you will remain pure as God has asked you to.
Amen. Do you want to have those ready at the end that people can just receive them? Very good. Abby, would you come? Lindsay helped me with scripture yesterday. Give a big hand to Lindsay. Thank you. And Abby's going to help me today. Big hand for Abby. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's good to see you all this morning. We're having a great camp, aren't we? Amen. It's just awesome. Hasn't it been exciting to see the way the adults are setting the standard and hungering and thirsting and seeking after God and setting an example for the young people? Isn't that super? I just love that. And then last night with two altar services, wow. God came in a precious and beautiful way, and we thank Him. Well, our theme this week in our morning sessions is from 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
And that reminds us that our bodies don't belong to us. They belong to God. And in our culture today, people say, "It's my body, I can do with it what I want." But you will find that nowhere in God's Word. God's Word teaches us that our bodies belong to Him, and He wants to inhabit our bodies and indwell us. Now, we've looked at a couple of things in this list of four that God does not want to share us to share our bodies with. He does not want us to share our bodies with sexual immorality or with drunkenness. And today we're going to get into tattooing and slashing. We'll get into cutting first and then maybe a little bit of tattooing. I don't think I can get through it all today because I have 60 slides. And it's hard to get through 60. I got through 70 slides in the first 2 days. So you get a little picture of what I'm dealing with. And then if I have time, I want to get into profanity and vulgarity and develop some of that. But I just may not have time to deal with all this. So what does the Bible say about tattooing and cutting? The Bible has some things that it can teach us, first of all, about cutting, and we'll really start in the same verse to try to help guide us in understanding tattooing and cutting from God's Word. May I say before we get into this, I love you guys, and I have some very, very close friends to me that have tattoos. Come here, boy. Come here.
Uh-oh.
Come here, Nate. Come here, Austin. Come here, Travis. I know. This boy's got a mess on him, but you know I love him like my own son. You know that. All his he got before he found Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, this boy has one, and you've probably seen it, some of you. And he got it when he was a Christian, but he was just ignorant about any teaching.
Thanks.
And I love him. I love him. And his tattoo does not diminish that in any way. Austin, I'm going to out him right now. Austin, when he was a younger teen, had a real issue with cutting. And it was a real big issue in his life, and God delivered him from it.
Amen.
Okay? And I'll tell you that I've heard Travis testify publicly that before he found Jesus, he was living this double life, and drunkenness was a huge part of his life all through high school, the whole party scene. And you know that all this stuff I'm talking about, I'm going to teach you what the Bible says. But if you've done differently than what God's Word says, you know I still love you.
Amen.
It doesn't diminish it at all. Okay? Having said that, sit down. Okay. So what does the Bible teach us about cutting?
Mark 5:5.
Gadarene
demonic is described as falling, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones.
The Gadarene demoniac was one that Jesus delivered mightily from demonic possession. But before Jesus delivered him, the Bible teaches us that he was living in the caves, he was chained, he'd break his chains, and then he tried to cut himself on the stones. Do you know why he tried to cut himself on the stones? Why did he try to cut himself on the stones, Nate? He was trying to get the demons out. He was trying to get the pain that the demons were causing in him out of his flesh. Now, he had a rather twisted way of going about it, right? But he was trying to get the demons out. Ancient peoples believed that the act of cutting the skin and even piercing the skin was an act to allow demons passageway both in and out. And some pagan people still believe that even to this day. Now, this is a longer passage. I have about 3 slides of this, okay? Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel.
1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between 2 opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if
Baal,
follow him." But the people answered him, "Not a word." Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us 2 bulls, and let them choose 1 bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose 1 bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning even till noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they looked about the altar which they had made. 1 Kings 18:27. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention.
We'll go to another slide with some more scripture. This picture you see happens to be a picture of Muslim men who still practice the Muslim practice of body slashing in trying to appease their God. That's not how we worship the true and living God, is it?
1 Kings 18:30. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elisha took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two
seahs
of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, Fill four water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. Then he said, Do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, Do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening service that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord of God of Abraham, Isaiah, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and you may, and you have turned their hearts back to you again.
One more.
1 Kings 18:38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up all the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of
Kishon,
and executed them there.
Thank you, Abby. Now, I want you to think with me just for a minute. What does this story of God's Word teach us in terms of biblical principles about cutting?
There's no reason for it.
There's no reason for it. What else? That's good.
Pagan.
It's pagan. What's another word for pagan? It's heathen. What's another word? Let's keep going. This is good. Who? It's demonic. It's false. It's worshiping a false god, an idol. That's how the priests of Baal worship Baal. Is that how the true and living God is to be worshipped? Is that how the true and living God is to be worshipped? Jesus has taken all the cuts that ever need to be taken. He has shed His blood for you and me. And there's no need for us to cut ourselves to be good enough for God. There's just no need. So it teaches us some important lessons. Cutting is really a demonic, pagan, idolatrous practice to release pain. But we're not releasing it to the true and living God. It's kind of a worship of our own body and our own flesh. And it won't lead us into greater intimacy with Jesus, will it? Now, let me show you some things that I've learned about cutting. Cutting is a private expression of hurt and anger. It's estimated that 25% of all teens and young adults inflict self-harm through cutting or burning. And both kind of go in hand. We call them self-mutilation. Most teens who engage in cutting are girls, but a lot more guys are doing it all the time. Why do teens exhibit cutting or other self-injury? Well, there are a number of reasons. Cutting is an ancient pagan idolatrous form. I think a lot of people don't realize that what they're doing is appealing to another deity other than the true and living God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, our scripture lesson.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God and you are not your own?
Remember this, Jesus took all the piercing and cutting and laceration and did all the shedding of blood on the cross of Calvary so that you and I don't have to. That ought to just excite us.
Yeah.
And so the next time you're tempted to cut, look to the one who was cut for you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking to yourself and your pain, look to Him who bore all the pain and all the sin of the world, and He did it for you. Your pain is already carried by Jesus on the cross so that you don't have to carry it.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's exciting. And so now, instead of just kind of living in our own pain and our own misery and our own discomfort over our own issues, Jesus said, bring them to me. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Glory to God.
Amen.
Cutting. Okay, now, do you have any questions about that before I get into some preliminary things in tattooing? Anybody? Any questions? Okay, let's talk about tattooing. I found this last winter as I was doing some research. It actually took place. It was in an article from the Chronicle Tribune up in Indiana from October 24th, 2011. And this is a picture of a pastor, Ryan McCarty. He had been preaching a series of sermons to his congregation in Marion, Indiana, at God's House, a church on 6th Street there in Marion. And he was preaching a message series titled, God Wants to Ink Your Hearts. And so in order to illustrate his message, he invited a tattoo artist to church on Sunday, and he got a tattoo while he was preaching. Brother Ralph, are you ready to do that?
Nope. guys, any recommendation on the static? Is the battery issue?
Dun, 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 dun. Very good. We don't even need a key change, Brian. That's awesome. Okay. I found another one from Flint, Michigan, and this was back in January of this year. A Michigan pastor said he's doing anything he can to reach out to people who don't feel comfortable at traditional church, so he opened a tattoo parlor inside his church. His name is Steve Bentley. The name of the church is The Bridge, and it's a church in Flint Township, Michigan, in a strip mall. And he said his ministry is built on the belief that mainstream religion is becoming ineffective and irrelevant to most people. And to that end, he opens Serenity Tattoo at church. So can somebody just say, isn't that special? Our scripture.
1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
Amen. Now, I found this from Reader's Digest from last year, and it was started with the line, if truth in advertising laws governed your tattoos, here is what the ink would actually say. Still in my rebellious rite of passage phase. Did they get better? Hang in there. I anticipate always feeling as whimsical as I was when I chose this one. Patty's being naughty over here. Thinking ahead deficient. I love this one. It makes me laugh. Nick likes this one too. Personal names on my body are not necessarily indicative of my relationship with that person when you read this. I'm not with her anymore. But she's with you. Long time. I'm sorry. I'm just being misbehaving. That one cracks me up. I regretted this one almost immediately. You have one like that, buddy? It may be wrong to assume that I know what this symbol represents. I've seen some of those. Actively taking a role in reducing the number of potential places that might employ me. So what does the Bible teach us about tattooing? We have one scripture that references tattooing directly, and it's Leviticus 19:28. This is from the New Living Translation.
Do not cut your bodies for the dead, and do not mark your skin with tattoos. I am the Lord.
Now, this was a prohibition that God gave the Hebrew people because the Canaanites all around them did this. It was pagan worship. As we've already seen and demonstrated, Baal worship was huge with this, with all the cutting. And the tattooing was also a part of pagan worship as well. And they would tattoo or cut their bodies in remembrance of dead people with a kind of ancestral worship. And God says, you're going to worship me and only me. Don't mark and cut your body. So one of the problems we have with this passage is that it's in the law. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Leviticus. And there are some other passages around it that when we read them look kind of archaic to us. So what I've found is if it's in the law, many people will say, well, that's the Old Testament law. We have no obligation to that. And as it relates to the Old Testament ceremonial and sacrificial law, with the Old Testament economy of the animal sacrifices and all that, we are freed from that through Christ because He was the once for all sacrifice. But the question is, do any of the Old Testament ethics and standards that are in the law still have a bearing on contemporary Christians in the 21st century? And in order to answer that question, there's one way to answer it. We have to take that and test it against the rest of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, and see if it's a consistent theme that bears out in Scripture. Right?
Yeah.
And if God's still talking about it in the New Testament, then it's pretty relevant to us, right? Would you be willing to do that with me today and tomorrow as we kind of think about this? Is that okay? I want to test this verse against both Old and New Testament. If that's all right for you, for me to do this morning, say amen, Dr. John.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. So, let's try to make some connections here. The Hebrews were prohibited from pagan marking, specifically tattooing and cutting. Ancient people believed that the process, as I mentioned already, the process of piercing of the skin in tattooing and in some jewelry and in slashing allowed for demons to have passageway in and out of the body. Let me show you a video that just really shook me up when I saw it. Oh, I don't have the volume, the speaker connected.
A large temple just west of Bangkok is home to one of the strangest Buddhist festivals in Thailand. Once a year, thousands of young men gather at Wat Bang Pra to be tattooed by the temple's monks. The Thais believe that the tats have magical powers to protect them from getting sick, evil spirits, and even bullets. They queue for hours to have their bodies covered in Buddhist prayers and scary-looking images of animals. But these are no ordinary tats, and after the monks have gone about their business, it doesn't take long to find out why. Out on the temple forecourt, people start to become possessed by the animal spirits in their tattoos. Some become the fiercest tigers, and others the scariest.
Okay, I've shown you that to demonstrate that not only ancient peoples believed that tattooing could give them demonic powers and possession, but there are people who still believe that today. I have had a number of students of mine who are from Thailand. Ung is a student at KMBC right now, and he's back home in Thailand this summer, and he has affirmed this. Varro was one of my students at KMBC, and he's back there as an evangelist, pastor, and Christian teacher. And this is affirmed not only through television documentary, but through first-person accounts. Now, the Hebrews, however, were commanded, they were prohibited certain body marking, but they were commanded certain body marking. Now, some of this gets a little plain, so we're really going to have to be super mature as we deal with this. Are you ready to be really mature in dealing with some of this stuff today? Because it gets kind of plain, and I'm not going to get crude, I promise you, but I'll get plain. Now, the Hebrews were commanded the mark of male circumcision, and that was a cut that was placed, a removal of the foreskin of a little baby boy's penis when he was only 8 days old. Yeah, I said in church, I'm sorry. But you have to understand what we're talking about. Now, that was a Hebrew mark. It was a Hebrew mark. And it was there forever to set him apart as a Hebrew man. Now, that custom is still practiced by Hebrews today, and it's actually broadened and been practiced by more than Hebrews. In fact, many American baby boys undergo that when they're still in the hospital right after they're born. But the Hebrews were commanded the mark of male circumcision. The Hebrews were promised the mark of God's name in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3.
Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, for it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen, who had the writer's ink horn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it.
And God was telling Ezekiel that the angel was to go through the city of Jerusalem and take an inkwell and mark a splotch of ink on the foreheads of all the men who were in anguish for the sins of their city and their nation. God marked the faithful. Now, what about body marking for Christians? Well, we know as Christians there are certain marks that we're prohibited. We're prohibited from receiving the mark of the beast. The Bible's very clear about that in the book of the Revelation. We as Christians are commanded a circumcision of the heart. And this is an invisible mark that God wants to put on His people. It's a mark within that nobody else can see, but they can tell it in our lives. The Christians were promised another mark, the seal of the Spirit, which is being sanctified holy. The mark of circumcision of the heart is the seal of the, is being sanctified as well. Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, and I'll have you read maybe a screen or two here. Let's see. Yeah.
Then I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and one horn, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, worshipped the beast, saying, like the beast, who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, the blasphemous name is having up on all who dwell in heaven.
And then Galatians chapter 13, verse 7.
It was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of law. In the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
And watch this.
He, the beast, was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Pierce wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666.
Got cold chills, Brother Billy? Have you seen them? I see heads nodding. Have you seen them? Now this is where I'm going. Could it be that with God's desire to mark us, Satan manufactures a counterfeit? You remember the 20? You remember my 20 from the other day? Real thing. Satan has a false counterfeit. Could it be that God's desire to mark his people with the circumcision of the heart, the seal of the Spirit, to write his law upon our hearts, and we're going to look at it in just a minute. Could it be that Satan's counterfeit for all of God's marks is the mark of the beast? And is it possible? Here's the question I'm asking. I don't have all the answers to this, okay? But is it possible that Satan's just softening us up so we're ready to receive the mark of the beast as the popularity of tattooing grows in our culture? And when the mark of the beast comes, it's no big deal. Are y'all with me? I am not saying if you have a tattoo, you've received the mark of the beast. Do not go out here and quote me saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I am asking the question, is it possible that the popularity of tattooing is just paving the way for the mark of the beast? Because then it will be no big deal. You see where the old man's going here this morning? Okay, before I go any farther, do you have any questions? You're a quiet group. Buddy, the questions going to come out in the dorm, aren't they? Get ready, Brother Mark.
Revelation 14:1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 141,000, having his father's names written on their
foreheads. Oh, these are the Jews who have come out of great tribulation, the 144,000. And look what they're wearing on their foreheads. The Father's name. They have the mark of God. God has put the Father's name across their foreheads. He's put His mark on His people. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
He wants to mark us, you see. He wants to mark us as His own. It's incredible to think about that. Look at Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11.
Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment is burned.
And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name.
So what's the end of all those, according to God's holy judgment, who receive the mark of the beast? What's the end?
God's wrath.
God's wrath. Somebody said hell?
destruction, eternal destruction in hell. Now that's scary to me. I don't want to go there. I really don't want to go there. It's forever. No matter what Rob Bell says. Right, Dan? It's forever. It's forever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4.
And I saw doors, and they saw those who have been.
Be ready for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and who had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with the Christ 1,000 years.
You see, Jesus is telling us in his revelation of himself to John that we are better off to refuse the mark of the beast and starve to death because we can't buy ourselves, or be beheaded, than to take the mark of the beast. We are better off if we refuse it, because then we'll live and reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. But if we take it, we'll be consigned to eternal damnation in hell forever and ever throughout all eternity. That's a stark contrast, isn't it? You see, God wants to mark us, but Satan wants to mark us too. The world wants to mark us, but God wants to mark his people as his own. And I think we'll make this our last slide, and then we'll pick it up here tomorrow.
1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not alone?
Amen and amen. Questions, comments, observations as we prepare to go to lunch. You still love me? You promise? I love you. I told you this would be controversial. But I'm not afraid of controversy. I've jumped into it before. Yes, dear.
I've never heard anybody, you know, come to me and talk to me about it, like, with a biblical sense.
Yes.
And, you know, now it makes me feel a whole lot better knowing I knew it was wrong to begin with, but to know that it's in the Bible that it's wrong, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, and I have tattoos and stuff.
But we love you.
And I just, like, I want to get to, I mean, I always have the scars to remind me of, you know, what I've done. And, you know, I have the tattoos to remind me that I was ignorant and I had the piercings and stuff like that. But, you know, I just want to move forward.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And, like, and I guess my question is, how do I do that?
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And keep from falling back into that place of despair, to where I feel like I have to cut in order to let the pain out.
Yeah. And that's an awesome question. And your name?
Brandy.
Brandy. Did you hear Brandy's question? She said, I have these scars from cutting, and I have the marks of tattooing from my old life, and how do I move on with Jesus? Now the beauty of it is, as you walk with him in repentance and faith and obedience, God is going to put his mark on you.
Amen.
And his mark is the circumcision of the heart. His mark is the seal of the Spirit. His mark is his law written on your heart as you read and memorize God's word and hide it in your heart. His mark is the beauty of his holiness in our character that shines out in our lives when we love Jesus.
Amen.
And that's how we move on. We take off and we put on. We take off the old life like a garment and we put on Jesus Christ. I have a series I do from Colossians on what not to wear. Take off the old man. And does it come in my size? Put on Christ. And I'll tell you guys, it comes in your size. His grace comes in your size. And it's not one size fits all. It's tailor-made just for you.
Amen.
And that's how we move on. We move on with a confidence and assurance that the sins and the pain are under the blood of Jesus and in the past. And now we look forward with a hope and a future. Because our sins have been crucified with him on the cross.
Right.
And the blood of Jesus covers the guilty past. We're new creatures in Christ. And we don't have to live in the shame, no matter what marks we bear in our flesh. We don't have to live in the shame. We can look forward because of the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. Somebody say glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That blesses my heart. That's an awesome question. Anybody else? Question or observation? Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this incredible joy that you want to mark us. You want to mark us as your own. You bought us with a price, the price of your blood on the cross of Calvary, and you have borne the marks in your body so we don't have to. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood, for the price you paid for our sin, for our lostness. We love you. We worship you. Seal this truth to our hearts, Lord. Lead us into the deeper life, the holy life, where we are circumcised in heart by faith through Jesus. Where we have the seal of the Spirit upon us. Where your law is written on our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Now bless our lunch to us and strengthen us throughout the afternoon. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Brother Mark, any direction? Walk at a reasonable pace.